Dr. Shane Fernando is an assistant professor of pediatric epidemiology in the UNT Health Science Center's Pediatrics Department. Dr. Fernando's primary concern is the increasing type 2 diabetes epidemic in the nation, and his research focuses on health disparities within the community. Dr. Fernando seeks to improve assessment of type 2 diabetes risk among children and improve health literacy within the location community through the Pediatrics Department and the Pediatric Mobile Clinic.
Good morning. How is everybody doing? Thank you very much for spending your morning with us. This study will be examining the comparison of body mass index percentile and percent body fat as on risk factors for type 2 diabetes mellitus in children aged 10 to 14. Co-authors on this presentation are Dr. Kimberly Fulda, Dr. Susan Franks, Dr. Paul Bowman, Dr. Deep Shah, Randy Profit-Leva, Binky Bawa, and Dr. Nusrath Habiba. As a presenter, I have no relationships to disclose. So as an overview of this presentation, we're going to talk a little bit about diabetes as a growing pandemic in the world, type 2 diabetes as a growing issue in children, and the risk factors that are associated with this disease. We'll look at an overview of our study and the results and our implications. So just looking at these two charts from 1994 to 2010, we see a dramatic increase in the prevalence of diagnosed diabetes among U.S. adults. It has been growing for the last three decades, and it continues to grow at an exponential rate. 29.1 million Americans currently have type 2 diabetes, have been diagnosed as having type 2 diabetes, with 86 million Americans aged 20 or older who are pre-diabetic. This is actually assumed to be an underrepresentation, as many people may be pre-diabetic without actually being diagnosed or been told by a health professional that they are pre-diabetic. There's an estimated incidence rate of 1.9 million new cases every year, and recent studies, global studies, have estimated that pediatric type 2 diabetes will increase globally by about 300% in the next 10 years. Diabetes is the seventh leading cause of death in the United States, and it costs our healthcare industry almost $245 billion every year. Type 2 diabetes in children has become a huge public health concern. About two decades ago, type 1 used to be the most prevalent form of diabetes in children. But recent studies have actually estimated that 45% of diabetes in children is of the type 2 form. This may be due to the increased obesity epidemic that is sweeping our country, plus a lack of physical activity, a lack of good health care needs, good health behaviors, poor nutrition, all of it leading to a reduced age of onset. We're seeing children as young as 10 years old being diagnosed with type 2. Several children who come into our clinics at the UNT Health Science Center, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, they have poor liver function, they're severely obese, but their family members think they're perfectly healthy. Unfortunately, type 2 diabetes in children is not completely understood. The method of ascertaining risk is still a little bit shaky. So as scientists, we need to develop a more defined method of determining risk in a child. The American Association of Pediatrics and the ADA came up with these five criteria for determining risk in children. I'll go through each of these criteria. Body mass index has to be in their 95th percentile or higher. That's someone who's obese. Blood pressure has to be in the 95th percentile or higher. Now, blood glucose has two variables. You have fasting and random. This is, for those of you who have children, you know how difficult it might be to bring a child to a 4 o'clock appointment at a clinic and have them be fasting the entire day. So we have these two options available, fasting and random. Acanthosis nigricans, which is a thickening of the skin. It's found in the creases of the body, most commonly observed in the neck, the armpits, the groin, the back of the knee, anywhere where the body really folds or creases, that's where you observe this thickening. It indicates an increased insulin resistance in the body. And if a child has a family member, the first or second degree family member, with a history of type 2 diabetes, then they are also considered to fulfill that final criterion. If a child has three or more of these criteria, they're considered to be at high risk for type 2. And if they have two, they're considered low risk. And one or below is generally considered no risk or negligible risk. So BMI percentile is the most common measurement of obesity in children. It is used in physicians' offices. It's used in the schools. It's widely accepted and widely used. However, it is not the best indicator of obesity in a child. As many of you may know, BMI is a highly variable measurement. It does not take into account composition within the body. If you're just measuring height and weight. So instead of considering just BMI percentile, we thought, why not look at percent body fat? Percent body fat would be a greater indicator of obesity and central adiposity in a child compared to BMI percentile. So the study really examines the association between percent body fat and type 2 diabetes risk factors compared to BMI percentile in the same population. Data for this particular study was obtained from two cross-sectional studies conducted at the University of North Texas Health Science Center at the Family Medicine and Pediatrics Clinics, as well as the Family Medicine Department at the Seminary Clinic in Fort Worth. Children aged 10 to 14 were recruited into the study. This age range was chosen because that is generally when type 2 diabetes is diagnosed in a child, between 10 to 14. The age of onset has started to decrease again, but that is generally when we see it. The majority of our population were Hispanic, as well as being in the lower SES spectrum. That's the majority of our patients. BMI was measured using height and weight, using standardized scales, as well, and once those measurements were obtained, the child's age and gender were recorded and plotted on the appropriate CDC scales. The CDC scales have unique BMI growth charts, one for boys, one for girls, and it's adjustable by age. Percent body fat was measured using a device called a Tanita, which looks very similar to a standard weighing scale. However, it has electrical components added on. All a patient has to do is step on that, and it pushes a very, very mild, you can't even feel it, a small electrical charge through the body, and using bioelectrical impedance gives you an estimate of percent body fat. So our hypothesis was that percent body fat would actually have a greater association with the type 2 diabetes risk factors in children than BMI percentile. We conducted a descriptive analysis and then a logistic regression model using standardized betas controlled for the three most common variables in children: age, race, and gender. So looking at our results, here's our first table, the descriptives. We have a relatively even spread for age between 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. The study was relatively evenly split between males and females, 48.27 to 51.72. And race, we had a large percentage of Hispanic subjects, 78.2, followed by African Americans at 13.4, and then non-Hispanic whites at 8.27. This is just the nature of the, again, our patient population. So when we assessed acanthosis, the BMI percentile and percent body fat against acanthosis nigricans, we found that those who had positive acanthosis nigricans signs had increased BMI percentiles as well as increased percent body fat. This is a trend that you'll actually see as we go throughout each of the risk factors. Those who have a positive value or a check mark for one of those risk criterion tend to have higher BMI percentiles as well as percent body fats. Looking at the logistic regression models, BMI percentile and percent body fat on acanthosis nigricans, our standardized betas actually showed that our percent body fat had a greater association with acanthosis nigricans. And here it is in a more visual manner, so you can actually see the differences between the two, acanthosis nigricans and standardized betas. In terms of blood pressure, once again, you see that in BMI percentile and percent body fat, there's an increase in if the child had a 95th percentile or higher blood pressure. So again, something that we tended to see throughout the study. In our log regression model, we see, again, the percent body fat had a slight increase over BMI percentile, all highly significant, especially when controlled for age, gender, and race. Once again, a visual representation of blood pressure. Family history of type 2 diabetes. Many studies have shown that family history is a very clear indicator for type 2 diabetes risk in anyone, child or adult. So it is, again, not surprising to see that we have an increased BMI percentile and percent body fat with those who have a family member with type 2. Our standardized betas for the BMI percentile and percent body fat on family history of type 2 diabetes show a slight increase of percent body fat over BMI percentile. It's not a huge value, but visually looks very appealing. And finally, looking at high glucose. If the child had a positive stick, or a finger stick, and they were considered to have a high glucose test. And so, once again, the same trends occurred. A child is obese, a child had a high percent of body fat, they were more likely to be in the high glucose test group. And our final regression model, the percent body fat, again, slightly edged out BMI percentile when controlled for age, gender, and race. So what are the implications of this study? Percent body fat has been seen to have a greater association with type 2 diabetes risk factors. So it may be a very useful measurement for physicians to ascertain risk in a child. Now, you do not need to purchase a Tanita device in order to assess percent body fat. A Tanita device is very convenient, it's very useful, but it can cost a fair amount of money, and so physicians may be a little bit wary of purchasing an expensive device. However, there are great measures such as a simple $5 caliper that you can use, and it's reasonably accurate and can be fairly well utilized in determining percent body fat as long as you're consistent in where you're measuring a child. There are also two other calculations, the U.S. Navy measurement and the YMCA both have calculations for percent body fat, both using waist measurement, but the U.S. Navy measurement also looks at neck measurement and hip circumference. So it's and those are modified by age and gender, once again. So assessing BMI percentile alongside percent body fat would be a better way to assess risk of type 2 diabetes in a child. We're not in saying that BMI percentile should be relegated to oblivion, but it should be something that is paired with percent body fat. Limitations of our study, we were looking at low income, a large Hispanic population. So further studies in this field looking at a more varied population is warranted and should hopefully strengthen our hypothesis. Special thanks to our study investigators, Dr. Fulda, Dr. Habiba, Dr. Franks, and Dr. Bowman, and our key personnel, Dr. Shah, Randy Prophet-Leva, and Binky Bawa. Thank you so very much for your time.